to Midnight Radio Network, 800-288-9227. And it is Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. Welcome and good morning. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
Yes, we want to remind you it is Ask the Law for Monday, November 1, 2010. All the information, answers to questions are up to date, can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than senior trooper Monty Dial are considered to be opinions only. Drivers, you can always get your CMV questions answered at askthelaw.org. Click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law. All right, we had a call going into the top of the hour break on a driver who kept a 150-mile radius. Anything else that that driver should know?
Not really. It's just a matter of if the driver takes advantage of the exception that's found in 395.1E and does not keep a logbook, the penalties are if a compliance review is done on the company and they determine that the driver is not turning in the hours or the motor carrier is not keeping a record of the hours the driver works, or if the driver worked more than 12 hours and didn't turn in a log sheet for that day, that would be where civil penalties would be enforced against the company. Now, if the driver does keep a log book, even though he operates inside the air mile radius, if he exceeds the hours, then it's just a citation that's issued roadside, and the penalty is up to $500.
The decision to keep the logbook or not, is that a matter of policy? It's not required?
Right. It's left up to the company as to whether or not they want the driver to use the exemption or fill a logbook out.
Right. Interesting. 800-288-9227. CSA 2010. All right. Here we are, heading into, 2011 now. Any updates on CSA 2010? Is there any new information that we should know on CSA 2010? Something that you think is important for the drivers to know? I had somebody recently, and they're in the insurance industry, say to me they were really surprised as to how many carriers weren't checking their scorecard.
That's the one thing that I would encourage if there are any motor carriers, trucking companies listening, get on the internet, sign up. You've got to send in and get a PIN number so that you can access this data.
Right.
And it takes about a week to get the PIN number back to you. But I highly recommend that you follow through and look at the carrier profile. It'll be broken down into the seven basics. And you would be surprised if you were used to the data under the current compliance review system.
Mm-hmm.
The data under CSA 2010 is totally different, and you're going to find that you could be in a world of hurt.
One of the items that you and I actually talked about during the break earlier is the whole sleep apnea, sleep study, and everything else. And there's been a lot of misinformation that's flying about. While in this from the CSA 2010, just the facts column put out by the FMCSA, you can find this, in fact, at the fmcsa.dot.gov. That is their website. Just the facts. CSA 2010, just the facts. While research data indicate that a driver's body mass index, BMI, is a risk factor for identifying drivers that may have sleep apnea, neither the FMCSA nor the Comprehensive Safety Analysis 2010 program currently has any rules that restrict who can be a commercial motor vehicle driver based on BMI or weight or neck size.
That is a true statement.
That is true, because I actually had somebody months ago approach me at a truck show and say, "Oh, hold on. We heard from that a driver heard from your show." And this is the problem, is that once it gets down the chain of communication, that sometimes it loses some of its truthiness, as Stephen Colbert would say. That's the problem, is that you know, too much information. We don't know where that misinformation comes from, but there is, again, and they do know that the BMI is a risk factor for identifying drivers that may have sleep apnea, but there is no rule, nothing here under CSA 2010 or from the FMCSA period that that outlines sleep apnea. They just simply haven't dealt with that yet. That we believe they probably will, but they have not as of yet.
Yes, and of course, too, something that gives drivers a chance to go in and say, well, you know, because of this or because of that, one of the things that's kind of putting a hindering on that statement being true is when they go in to get their 2-year medical card.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you and I have discussed this in the past, where a lot of these clinics jump the gun thinking that in 2010, when CSA came on board, they were going to require drivers that had obstructive sleep apnea were going to have to go through a sleep study. Well, that didn't happen. Well, now then, all these clinics now have this staff set up to do these.
Right.
And there's no patients going there.
Right, right.
So what they're doing is they're getting these doctors say, well, yeah, we think you've got obstructive sleep apnea, so we're only going to give you a 3-month medical card until you can take and get a sleep study done.
Right.
And they under the current regulations in 391.41, there are a list of sleep disorders.
Right.
That if the doctor determines the driver has one of these sleep disorders, then yes, under the current regulations, they can require a sleep study. But if a driver goes in there and he's overweight, he has a certain neck size, or he has a BMI of a certain amount, that alone is not grounds to have a driver go through a sleep study.
All right.
As the rules are today.
800-288-9227.
Let's go to Tom in Detroit. Tom, hi. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got a quick question for the trooper. In reference to the texting and all that, these companies and trucks that are equipped with telecom and computers that are mounted under steering wheels and dashboards, how's that fall underneath the new ruling? I mean, that's the same thing as the texting.
Well, actually, it is not, and I'm glad you asked that.
They've exempted them.
Yes. In fact, here is what the texting ban does not include, Tom. Reading, selecting, or entering a telephone or extension number or voicemail retrieval codes and commands into an electronic device to make or receive a phone call, or using voice commands to initiate or receive a phone call, inputting, selecting, or reading a global positioning system or navigation system, using fleet management systems, dispatching devices, smartphones, CBs, or music players. So that falls under what is not included in this texting ban. However, we will let you know that there is the White House Office of Management and Budget received its notice of proposed rulemaking to restrict cell phone use while operating commercial vehicles in September, and its deadline is listed for December 26th. But right now, as of right now, there is no rule, and this current rule with texting does not cover those devices. Okay? So,
yeah.
So you're safe there. Thank you, Tom. We do appreciate the phone call. And I think that's the question by the industry, and I know by the companies that make the devices, is how wide will that rule be? But we just basically have to go with what we know right now.
Correct.
And
now
that is a texting ban that's in place.
Right. Now, there are some companies that use the fleet management systems, better known as Qualcomm, KDEC, you know, whatever name you want to have, or whatever device you want to use. Some of the companies have actually gone in, and if the truck is moving, it disables it.
Hmm.
So that the driver cannot put it on his steering wheel, be driving down the road,
yeah,
and, you know, typing a message out.
Sounds like to me some hedging on a liability.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's company.
Right. That's a policy.
That's a company policy. In reading the press release, fleet management systems are exempt.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, back in a moment. Ask the law if you have a question for Trooper Dial. Hours of service, CSA 2010. Maybe you got a ticket recently. You're wondering how that's going to affect you. Under CSA 2010, we can answer that question. 800-288-9227. Weather along the highways at 33 past. On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. We're here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. It is Ask the Law for Monday, November 1st. All the information and answers to questions are up to date, can change without notice. Statements made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are opinions only. AskTheLaw.org is the website. Let's get right back to you.
Let's talk to Harry in New Mexico. Harry, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Yes, I had a question on a DOT physical exam. Is it correct that if you take the physical and your blood pressure is all right, I mean, it's in within the right parameters, but you do take blood pressure medicine, that there are only permitted to give you a one-year physical card?
No. What it does, Harry, is it's based upon the blood pressure. If your blood pressure is of a certain amount, and I don't have it exactly here, what I would recommend that you do is get your DOT regs or get on the FMCSA website, go to 391-41, and that's where the medical requirements are laid out. And if you have a blood pressure of a certain amount, it gives, you know, if it meets a certain level, they give you 2 year. If it's higher, it's down to 1 year. If it's even higher than that, it's, I think, 6 months. But it's all based upon when you go in. If let's say, for an example, that you're not on blood pressure medicine and it's an elevated pressure, they give you a 1 year or 6 month, put you on the medication, it brings your heart rate down, then when you go back in after a certain period of time, they will give you a 2 year card.
All right. Last time I took a physical, the doctor told me it didn't make any difference where your blood pressure was. If you were on medication of any kind, they were only allowed to give you a one-year card.
No, that's not true at all.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. And you know what? Some of that, we do appreciate the call, Harry. Some of that may be cleared. And again, if it's misinformation, and it could be that the doctor had the wrong information there, but some of that could be cleared up under this new initiative to get all of these DOT doctors, you know, put into the system, essentially.
Yes.
Because there would be not only a greater flow of communication from the doctors to the DOT, but also, I would believe, that logic would dictate that you would get a better flow of that information going to those doctors on those regulations. 800-288-9227. If you've got a question on hours of service, maybe you've got a question on CSA 2010. There's something, maybe you got a ticket recently on CSA 2010 and you believe it's going to, or a ticket on the road and you believe it's going to affect you under CSA 2010. We'd love to hear from you. 800-288-9227 as Trooper Dial looks in his regs to see what is written there about blood pressure medicine.
It has to do with hypertension.
Okay.
We have stage one. If the driver has stage one hypertension and it's one, the blood pressure, the systolic,
yeah,
is 140 over 159. The systolic blood pressure, 140 to 159, and or the diastolic is 90 to 99, the driver gets a one-year card. If it's 160 to 179 and 100 to 109, that's stage two, and it's not treated, then the driver gets a three-month. So just because you're taking blood pressure medicine does not meet the hypertension.
Right. Now, it could be that the doctor required that medication simply because he was at a certain level.
Correct.
In that case, that would mean the doctor is writing it. But it basically, it's based on, according to the rule, the letter of the rule, it's based on the level.
Correct.
Not the medication itself.
Right.
Okay. So that's it could be that there was something lost in translation from the doctor, and we do appreciate that. But always, in fact, make sure you stay on that medicine and always check with your doctor. We're back in just a moment. Ask the Law continues.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for Monday, November 1st, 2010, and we are here with our, a guy who's been on this program for well over a decade doing this very job, Ask the Law, and he was out on the streets, out on the mean streets of Texas, as a senior trooper with a Texas Highway Patrol. He is now retired. Monty Dial, and he is here courtesy of Old Blue USA. We want to remind you the information and answers to questions are up to date, can change without notice, and also any statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. AskTheLaw.org is the website. All right, let's get back to your questions, see if we can roll through as many as possible between now and the top of the hour. Go.
Let's go to Baxter in Davenport, Iowa. Baxter, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome.
Good evening.
Hi.
I have a question concerning the CSA 2010 thing that's going to occur.
Yes.
Well, number one, we all know Obama is in there to restore jobs, not destroy jobs. So if it's estimated that 170,000 truck drivers are going to lose their jobs because of this new program, I don't think the Obama administration is going to stand for that. I don't think he's going to get on TV and say, hey, look, America, 170,000.
Did you have a specific question about the initiative or the rule itself? Because the political comments and everything else are another portion of the show. And I'll just say that, by the way, my opinion only, as we just stated a moment ago. Here's the thing. This administration has clearly shown that they don't care about jobs. They have shown that with the drilling moratorium that cost thousands, tens of thousands of jobs, they don't care. With the, in fact, with the trucking related item here, the cross border program with Mexico has cost thousands and thousands of jobs. We don't believe that that is an issue when they're determining something. So,
and I'll tell you right now, the president would not get on TV to promote either way, being for or against any legislation on this. That would never be viewed as being even an important thing to talk about on TV.
Nope. And it's already, in fact, it's already underway. That time has come and gone. So we'll just leave that again for another day, another show. 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Greg. Greg, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hello. Trooper, sir, would you please tell me does it apply to me? I'm a local trucker. I haul for private customers. I don't have any corporate customers. And within the 150 miles, I'm a rock hauler. What does the program, whatever, have to do with me?
CSA 2010, how will this affect this driver?
Right now, Greg, it will not, because Texas has to adopt CSA 2010. Until CSA 2010 is adopted by Texas, it does not impact you whatsoever.
Do I need a USDOT number?
Yes. Texas does have a requirement that intrastate haulers are required to complete an MCS 150 and obtain a U.S. DOT number.
Where can I obtain information on all this?
If you will, contact the Motor Carrier Bureau in Austin. Their main number is 512. Plum forgot it. I called it for years and years.
We'll get that number. I can't remember. Yeah, we'll get that number for you here in just a minute if you'll hold on. We thank you for that. In fact, we'll let you go if you'll just listen on the air. We will give that number here in just a moment. It's because the microphone is open. And if you were to ask me, in fact, what my phone number was, I probably couldn't tell you. 800-288-9227. Let's see if we can fit in one more call before we go to the break.
Let's go to Curtis in Texas. Curtis, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Trooper Dial, I got three quick questions for you, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
First of all, what is the start date, the official start date of CSA 2010?
It's already started.
Okay. When
well,
was that?
Now. Certain parts of it have already started, Curtis. What they did was FMCSA brought out what they called the pre-employment screening process. If you were to go to work, if you were to go turn an application in to another company, they can go back and get a signed release from you, and they can go back and look at the DOT recordable crashes that you've been involved with for the past 5 years. They can also look at all of the DOT roadside inspections that you have gone through for the last 3 years, and it will list all of the various motor carriers that you have worked for. The second part of that is, and this just came on board last month, where motor carriers can now log in and take a look at their actual basic breakdown to show where they're getting most of their violations. The other part of it has to do with FMCSA coming in and setting or doing interventions with the motor carrier. And I like to use this analogy. The motor carrier gets put on a merry-go-round. The merry-go-round starts spinning. Once one of those seven basics gets up in the 96, 97, 98 percentile, based upon light carriers in their peer group, they get thrown off, and now then the intervention process starts. That part of it has not gotten here yet.
Okay. And then the other two questions, it's really a two-part question. considering being overweight, I read through that whole booklet, or skimmed through it, you know, pretty thoroughly. I picked up the booklet, the overview or whatever it's called from the truck stop, and I couldn't find anything in there about overweight violations, but I'm wondering about that, how that's going to affect us, you know, if you pull into a scale and you're 10,000 over or whatever.
FMCSA at one time had size and weight violations listed under load securement. They realized through industry that this was a problem. So they have gone in and taking weight and size out of the equation. So they, even though the violations still show up, they do not carry a value assigned to those violations.
So there is no CSA 2010 value assigned to those?
No.
Oh, interesting.
That surprises me. There is a statement in that booklet that says every violation counts, period.
Right.
So that got me to wondering.
So how do we know how that's going to affect CSA 2010 or a particular
it doesn't.
Driver's score?
So it doesn't.
No effect?
No. It will have no effect on it, even though the violation will be recorded. It will not carry any type of weight either to the motor carrier or the driver under the pre-employment screening or under the motor carrier data.
Interesting.
At this time, like I say, in the future, they may bring it back in.
Right, right.
but
and assigned it some kind of weight.
Assigned it a weight, but when they initially brought CSA 2010 forward, it did have values assigned for size and weight, but it has been removed.
Yeah, Curtis, was that the end of your questions?
Just one more small part, please.
Sure.
My company tells me that because of the nature of our freight, DOT allows us 10% over gross. Is that BS, or could that actually be true?
Are they allowed 88,000?
Do you run in Texas?
Yes.
As long as you're not on the interstate, if the company has a annual overweight permit, you can run 10% on either one of the tandems or 5% gross.
Hmm. Okay, I'm not aware of any permit, but that could be.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. We do appreciate that call. We're back in a moment. It's Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network, and it's Ask the Law. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. All the information and answers to questions up to date as of today, Monday, November 1st, 2010, can change without notice. We probably won't have time for another question, but we thank the drivers who are holding on. We also want to remind you to go to askthelaw.org. If you do have a question, askthelaw.org, and submit your CMV questions anytime. Click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law. The previous caller wanted to know that, or you were sending him to one of the bureaus in Austin. You've got that number for him.
512-424-2850.
Again?
512-424-2850.
All right. So there is that number. And again, askthelaw.org is the website if you want to go there. Everything that, anything that we see on, whether it's any kind of new data on or information on the hours of service review or whatever, we will certainly keep you posted here on this program and on our website, midnighttrucking.com. But it could be, in fact, will be an interesting November, starting with tomorrow, Tuesday, November 2nd. As things go into play there, we're still watching the bill in the Senate on EOBRs to find out where that's going to go, how much real momentum that has, and that bill would state that if it passes and is becomes law, it would require all commercial motor vehicles to have an EOBR. Trooper Dial, always great having you here.
Yes.
Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you in December.
Y'all do too.
All right. It's the Midnight Radio Network.
800-288-9227.